Today on Seculo, Senator Lindsey Graham joins us live to break down his tweet on taking out Vladimir Putin.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. We have got a packed show for you today. We, in the next segment of the broadcast, we're going to be joined by U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham. You might have seen his tweet. You might have seen the news about his tweet last night. Some people were misinterpreting it. We wanted to give an opportunity to talk about it, but also to talk directly to you about why he thinks it's important. He tweeted this: "Is there a Brutus in Russia?" Of course, referring to the Shakespeare play, Julius Caesar, where Brutus assassinates Caesar. Is there a more successful Colonel Stauffenberg? He was part of a failed plot to kill Adolf Hitler in the Russian military. The only way this ends is for somebody in Russia to take this guy out, referring to Putin. He's not saying he has to be, by the way, assassinated, but removed from power. And notice he is saying it is Russians who would be doing this, not Americans calling for the assassination of a world leader. That's very different. This is calling on the Russian people, who are experiencing significant pain themselves economically. Of course, nothing like what the people in Ukraine are experiencing physically, but economically they are. And especially their top oligarchs. And when those top oligarchs face that kind of pain, they've got serious power. And I think if there's no Putin, there's no more war in Ukraine.
And I will tell you this. This whole situation in Ukraine, you could rest on the shoulders of Joe Biden and that administration. And there's a lot of reasons why. We'll get into that with Senator Graham. But I want to do a flashback with you. Robert Gates, former Secretary of Defense, had a memoir. He was on Face the Nation. He was asked by Margaret Brennan about Joe Biden's foreign policy decision-making and success. This is eye-opening, folks. Share this with your friend. Bob Gates, former Secretary of State, a Secretary of Defense. Take a listen.
You said in your memoir, Joe Biden is impossible not to like. Quote, he's a man of integrity, incapable of hiding what he really thinks, and one of those rare people you know you could turn to for help in a personal crisis. Still, I think he's been wrong on nearly every major foreign policy and national security issue over the past four decades. Would he be an effective commander-in-chief?
I don't know. I think I stand by that statement. He and I agreed on some key issues in the Obama administration. We disagreed significantly on Afghanistan and some other issues. I think that the vice president had some issues with the military, so how he would get along with the senior military and what that relationship would be, I think it would depend on the personalities at the time.
The best takeaway, the most important takeaway is he and I agreed on some key issues in the Obama administration, but he said, and he said, I stand by my statement. That statement was, he's been wrong on nearly every major foreign policy and national security issue over the past four decades.
Yeah, we're talking about going back to like the Vietnam days.
And we are living with that, as with President Biden making those decisions now. And that's why we're on the verge of world war.
We're going to have a live report from Kyiv as well. We're going to be joined by Rick Grinnell in this broadcast. Next up, U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham. So again, this is a packed in show. Share it wherever you're watching. If you're watching the broadcast on Facebook, on Rumble, share this on YouTube with your friends and family. It's a packed-in show. We're going to get that live report from Kyiv. We've got the live update from Senator Graham. Live with Rick Grinnell from Serbia. You don't want to miss any of this broadcast coming up. And support the work of the ACLJ. This show really does show that it's more than just a news radio broadcast, because we have the depth to get to Senator Graham right after he sent the tweet out last night. We were able to get to someone in Kyiv. We're able to go to Rick Grinnell, you know, former acting director of national intelligence and ambassador to Germany, while he's in Serbia. He's part of our team at the ACLJ. We might have some other reports we're working on too internationally as we speak, maybe out of Poland, so, and the refugee crisis there. All on today's broadcast. Support the work of the ACLJ. It's a matching challenge. Month of March, double the impact of your donation at aclj.org.
A
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
To Secula, we are joined by a great friend of ours, U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham, who made a statement last night via Twitter and on Fox News. It's getting a lot of attention around the world.
Yeah, well, Lindsey's been a great friend of ours and for a great friend of the ACLJ's for many, many decades. Senator, thanks for being with us. Before we get into the particulars of what you have proposed or at least tweeted out, let me ask you this. The situation right now in Ukraine, how do you view it, and how do you view the instability now in the region, especially with this nuclear power plant apparently under control of Putin's forces?
Well, number one, I think the cities in Ukraine are going to start falling. The Ukrainians have been brave beyond my imagination, but the truth of the matter is they're outgunned, thus far fighting the Russians, but the weight of the Russian army will come to bear here. There will be a insurgency like you haven't seen before, so this war will go on for years. The Ukrainians are willing to fight to their death. God bless the Ukraine, and what I said last night, I stand by. The Russian people need to end this madness. The Russian people have suffered under Putin for 20 years. And the best way for this to end, Jay, is for the Russian people to take matters in their own hands and get rid of Putin by any means necessary.
So you're looking at a situation, and you got a lot of controversy yesterday, but if you look at it historically, taking out a leader like a Hitler, there were attempts on Hitler's life. Unfortunately, they were not successful. Could have saved a lot of my family members, for instance, from facing the Holocaust. But when you say that, it gets a lot of attention. But the fact of the matter is, what you're proposing is that the Russian people react. And their military, Lindsey, is saying, well, we were sent here under different pretenses. At least that's what some of them are saying. I don't know if that's just Ukrainian propaganda. But the leader here is making the decisions. Putin is making the decisions.
So I can't say it any better. Just think how the world would have been different if somebody that could have successfully taken Hitler down. They tried, but they failed. So war crimes are being committed in front of you. I've been a military lawyer for all my adult life. The Geneva Convention is being violated daily. They're using cluster bombs and vacuum bombs that are banned under the law of war. The military commanders are good candidates to be tried in international war tribunals. You carry out Putin's orders at your own peril. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to let the Russian people know my fight is not with you. You're the victim as much as anybody else. I am trying to get the Russian people to stand up to this thug, this murderer, this thief, and end this. And the only way it's going to end anytime soon is for the Russian people to bring justice to Putin. All the sanctions have limitations. All the talk and all the prayers are wonderful, but we need the Russian people. I don't want to invade Russia. I'm not calling for that. I'm not calling for boots on the ground in the Ukraine. I'm calling for the Russian people to rise up and end the madness.
Senator Graham, this is a Jordan. I thought that was very important because I think a lot of people misinterpreted. They didn't read your tweets clearly enough and your references to Brutus, a Roman, and to the colonel in Germany who tried to assassinate Hitler but failed. You're talking about not American assassination of a world leader, but the Russian people, by whatever means necessary, whether that's an arrest, whether that's just taking him out of power, any way to stop this horror that we are all seeing on unfold on live television and in social media.
But Jordan, you nailed it. So listen, I'm a rule of the law guy. I believe in order. I believe in, you know, making sure the streets are safe. You break into somebody's store, you go to jail. You attack the cops, you pay a price. The world situation is the same for me. Putin is a war criminal. He invaded a sovereign country. I'm not asking for U.S. boots on the ground in the Ukraine. I think that's not what we need to be doing. I'm not asking us to invade Russia and take care of Putin ourselves. I am calling on a Russian spring. I am calling on the people of Russia to rise up. Your future under Putin is very dark. You'll never be able to be part of the family of nations. You'll live in abject poverty. You have suffered more than anybody for a very long time. And I do believe this is the moment that history meets the moment. Mm. And there are people in Russia. There's historical precedent for what I'm suggesting. Rise to the occasion and save thousands of lives in Ukraine and save the dignity of your country.
Here's what you said in the tweet. The only people who can fix this are the Russian people. Easy to say, hard to do. Unless you want to live in darkness for the rest of your life, be isolated from the rest of the world in abject poverty, and live in darkness, you need to step up to the plate. Now, here's the question. Putin's on a very heightened alert because he knows that he's got opposition within his own leadership. He has opposition within the Russian people, and these oligarchs, Senator, are starting to turn on him.
Yes. So how do we make his situation worse and ours better? So the Achilles heel of the Russian war machine is the oil and gas sector in Russia. About 40% of the revenue to fund the Russian war machine comes from oil and gas. So Manchin's bill, Joe Manchin's a great bill. Let's stop buying Russian oil and gas of about 4 to 8% of what we use. Expand domestic production here to backfill and send it to our allies in Europe and cripple the Russian oil and gas economy, which will cripple the ruble even further. That will allow, I think, there's momentum building in Russia. They're living a miserable life. The more we can make Putin's Russia a miserable place to live, the more likely people are going to end this.
And Senator Graham, we saw out of Germany, the Green Party, which was not so into, old style power mechanisms. They are now repurchasing coal and opening up coal plants. They said it was just a pragmatic decision to make. So I think in line with that, we're seeing the world, even some of the countries with leadership who is even more extreme than some of the Green New Deal Democrats that I think Joe Biden is kind of in the pocket of, unfortunately. Can we break through that? Is there ability to break through those Green New Deal Democrats that have his ear to get America back on? Just by announcing that we were going to reopen and restart this, we know we can impact the futures market, which brings prices down for the American people, but also, as you said, continues to isolate the Russian economy and the Russian oligarchs and Putin himself. It puts him in more danger.
Well, so let's unpack that. That's a great question. Number one, I went over to a news conference yesterday with Joe Manchin and Democrats and Republicans to support his legislation that would cut off Russian and oil and gas being purchased by Americans, increase domestic production to backfill what we would lose, and actually send some over to Germany. And And I saw a headline on the way to the press conference, Nancy Pelosi supports a ban on Russian oil and gas. I said, I got to read this bill again. Maybe I'm on the wrong bill. Let me tell you how powerful this issue is. The Green Party in Germany is supporting terminals being built in Germany to receive gas outside of Russia. They're supporting the use of fossil fuels to get through this emergency situation that would ensue by cutting off oil and gas to Germany. The Biden administration is to the left of the Green Party in Germany and Nancy Pelosi. They have an insane view of energy. They're not pursuing green energy. They're pursuing a red energy strategy, energy that is full of Ukrainian blood. So 75 votes would exist next week to pass Joe Manchin's bill to stop buying Russian oil and gas, increase American production. And the only reason we're not voting is because of the Biden administration.
Mm. Which is unreal. Last question for you, Senator. Then I know you got to go. Left on check, does Vladimir Putin, he's having trouble getting full control of Ukraine, but he probably will militarily. Does he stop there?
I worry about a slice of Moldova called Transmurcia that has some Russian sympathies. I think Moldova would be next. I don't think he goes to the Baltics, but here's what I worry about. If we don't go hard in after 20 years and we let him get away with it again, the war crimes in Ukraine are forgiven like they were in Syria, China will surely go into Taiwan. If the Chinese see the world coming against Putin, destroying Putin's economy and the Russian people rising up against Putin, I think the Chinese will be less likely to go in Taiwan. And what do the Iranians learn from all this? It's good to have a nuclear weapon because the Ukrainians gave up theirs. If we get this right, then I think we deter China, we deter Iran. If we let him win, let him get away with this, then the world is going to become a much more dangerous place.
We appreciate you taking time. Senator Lindsey Graham, great friend of ours, great friend of this broadcast, and great friend of the ACLJ. Thanks, Senator.
Thanks, pal.
Yeah, thank you, Senator Graham. Folks, again, just another example why it's important to support the work of the ACLJ. We saw that comment from Senator Graham last night, late on Twitter. Texted our team. We texted Senator Graham. He's on the broadcast for you live today. Support our work at aclj.org. It's a matching challenge. You can double the impact of your donation at aclj.org. Next up, very unique. We've got a live report on the ground in Kyiv. You don't want to miss this. Live report on the ground in Kyiv as the Russians advance on the capital of Ukraine. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
To Secula, we've got a special, very special live report now coming to you from Kyiv. A friend of ours, a musician that my dad is friends with, who we reached out to, and we wanted to get kind of be able to provide you a live report of what it's like in the capital city. So, Dad, I'll let you do the introductions.
Yes. Serge Tagnarodno, and Serge is a very well-known performer, multi-instrumentalist, singer, performer in both Ukraine, of course, Russia, but also here in the United States with a band that I'm a huge fan of called Leonid and Friends. Last time, Serge, you and I were together was in Nashville, Tennessee. Here we are now, and you are still in Ukraine. You live in Ukraine. Your bandmates are primarily Russian. What's the situation for you right now?
Hi, everybody. Yes, I'm here in Kyiv from the first day of war when they started to invade. I've been here in my apartment with my family, my wife, kids, and my dog, and we woke up at 5 a.m. because of explosions that was... sound of explosions that our air defense system worked on the rockets pointed at Kyiv. And actually, rockets were pointed all over the Ukraine. So unfortunately, there is no safe place all over the country. So right now, for 7 days, they are trying to enter the city without no success. But besides that, they are destroying all the cities in our suburbs and other cities like Chernihiv, Kharkiv, almost completely destroyed. And I should say that it's a very rare cities with more than 1,000 of years history with a lot of cultural objects.
Yeah, I was going to ask
and
you
as well. Yes.
Yeah, Serge, I was going to ask you about that. And that is... you know, the Russians, of course, and their propaganda machine are saying we're not hitting civilian areas, we're not hitting museums and theater and things like that. You're in the arts. I mean, you've got a recording studio, a well-known recording studio called Crystal Sound in Ukraine, and do international audio products all over the world. When you're looking at what's happening in the cities that you're in, are these areas being hit?
Yes, last night one big explosion happened in a district near my studio. Actually, I even don't know if it's still there. I live on the other side of the city, and it's dangerous to travel all over the city. Well, the city is clear of Russian militaries, but there's always an air warning system works every 20 minutes. So most of people are hide it in shelters right now. Only
Serge, I want to ask you about the humanitarian situation, even in your situation, for people who have stayed in the capital city as it's kind of being encircled. The power, it seems to be on. You're able to join us by Skype, and that's amazing that you're able to do that right now. And I appreciate you so much taking the time out of your day. I know that you've been up since early in the morning with these warnings. But food, basic resources, are those still available to the people? And is it limited and running out?
So far, it's okay. I won't tell you all the situation because it's like a secret information for the enemy. Well, we are not surrounded yet, and that's the good thing. So they're trying to get us in a circle, but unsuccessfully by this moment. So we're good. We are ready to defend our city, and there's no possibility to them enter with troops or tanks. The only thing they can do, they can just destroy this city like they did with Kharkiv and Chernihiv.
Serge, you know, you're a performer. You just were here in the United States just months ago. I saw you in Nashville last year, or year before last. I'm, of course, keeping up with your team. Let me ask you this. I mean, a lot of your people your age are taking up arms in military deployments. Has that happened in your area yet?
Yes, of course. We actually, when it just started, all the people of Ukraine, it's more than 45 million people, they gathered and decided what to do. So there's a big line to enter the military forces right now. So even if I wish to go and fight right now, I will have to wait till my line will be
called on. What is the message, Serge, you have for the rest of the world? We're broadcast all over the world. What is the message for the rest of the world right now?
Well, the main message, you know, yesterday, last night, they tried to capture the biggest nuclear power plant in Europe, in Zaporizhia. And the main thing that they started shelling it with artillery and tanks and heavy arm weapon. And that's ridiculously dangerous. You know, we had Chernobyl in 1986, and that was a disaster for all of the world. And this power plant is 7 times bigger than Chernobyl. Yeah. And there was a fire yesterday, and they didn't let the firefighters to deal with that. Fortunately, we convinced them to do this. And during last days, all their attacks, mostly on civil districts, on schools, children garden, yes, a lot of civils dying. So the main thing, we don't understand what their goal is. They just trying to destroy everything. Yeah. And what? So it's very dangerous. There is no logic in what they're doing right now. Yeah. So this should be stopped immediately, and the whole world needs to know about it. It's very dangerous.
Now, Serge, we're going to have you on again next week. Is this if this conflict continues? We're thinking about you, praying for you, and please do let your friends know that the United States, we're doing everything we can, everything we can think of. We appreciate it. Andy, it was very important what Serge said. They're targeting civilian areas. That's a war crime.
It absolutely is. One of the things that is a cardinal principle of international law is that in time of conflict and war, you do not target civilian populations. You do not target civilian places of dwelling and so forth. And the attacking of civilians and the harm that is being caused to the children, that's what really gets me, is to see the children suffering the way they are and the civilians being caught in the crossfire is in fact criminal activity, however you classify it. It's a crime against humanity to do this to little children and to get them caught up in a war, senseless aggression war, on the pretext of some nonsense involving genocide that never existed. And I think it's a horrible thing, and I'm very much in solidarity with Sergei. He speaks excellent English, by the way. I'm very proud to be in solidarity with him.
All right, folks, we come back, second half hour coming up, and we've got a lot more. Johnny Daniels, live report from Poland. He's assisting refugees, even has resettled some of the refugees already into Israel. He's a great organization that has shifted from its traditional humanitarian work to dealing with the refugees. And then Rick Rennell joining us live from Serbia. So you do not want to miss the second half hour coming up. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. And folks, again, a packed show in today. If you want to try to get a call in, you can at 1-800-684-3110. We can try to take some of those in this second half hour of the broadcast at 1-800-684-3110. We're already joined by Senator Lindsey Graham, who called for the Russian people to take out Putin. That call, again, a lot of controversy, but it's also a lot of discussion. There's a lot of support for it, too, on the left and the right, because it's likely the quickest way to end this conflict. If the Russian people rose up and did that, or his generals or top advisors, they're not going to continue this war. That would be an end to this war in Ukraine. Here we got the live report from Kiev. So if you missed that, you want to go back to the broadcast. We've got more live reports coming from this region of the world. And next up, from Poland, which is dealing with most of the refugees right now who are coming in through Western Ukraine. Our friend Johnny Daniels, who has a great organization there called From the Depths that works on connecting the Jewish history in Poland and a lot of the righteous among the nations, those Gentile Poles who helped saved and hid Jews during the Holocaust. Now his work's shifting to assisting these refugees, and even some, which I want to ask about, are already on the path to be resettled in Israel because of his connections there. He used to work for the Israeli government, but now living in Poland. And then we'll be joined by Rick Rennell. He's joining us from Serbia to give, again, his update as a former acting director of national intelligence about where things currently stand in this conflict.
If you're watching on any of our social media platforms, let me encourage you, if you're on Facebook, we, of course, encourage Rumble. If you're on Rumble, share it with your friends. If you're on Facebook, share it with your friends. YouTube, whatever social media platform, ACLJ.org, share it with your friends so we get more people involved in the conversation. There's one thing that we haven't talked about much, and that was there was an attack on a nuclear reactor last night by the Russians. This was intentional. Serge mentioned it briefly in his report from Ukraine. There are serious issues with this, not the least of which is the impact that something like that could happen if you were to have some kind of nuclear meltdown or destruction of these radioactive nuclear. It's the largest nuclear plant, Andy, in Europe.
It is. This is a facility that was damaged. The reactor itself, I understand, was undamaged, but a building next to it was damaged. The Russians have assumed control of the plant. The Ukrainians are operating it under gunpoint from the Russians. That's right, Jay.
So then you look at this, and then Serge also said, Andy, that they targeted, he's there in Ukraine, they are targeting civilian areas.
This is the thing that distresses me so much.
You say it to me every night when you're watching. You see
I'm saying it's the children that are bothering me, being harmed the way they are. When I saw these children who were evacuated from a cancer ward, and this little boy who had lost all his hair because of the chemotherapy, shivering underneath the city of Kiev in one of those subway stations. What did they do to deserve this? Why the children? Why the children yet again? And not only that, I want to say, because being a historian, the historical sites that are being bombed and battered to the ground, the Holocaust memorial that was being bombed, I think that may have been a targeted bombing, Jay, to prove a point on the part of Putin. But these historical sites that are being destroyed randomly, this is a horrible thing to have happening in the 21st century. And I agree with everything that Senator Graham said. I find this reprehensible conduct, absolutely reprehensible.
Folks, we encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. This broadcast just shows a great way to show you the connections we have all over the world with people that we work with, people who work for us, the people who are part of our team like Rick Rennell, people that we just have connections with because of all of the different work that ACLJ and our international affiliates do. This is a great time to support our work. It's a matching challenge, a month of March, where you can double the impact of your donation at ACLJ.org. Just to explain that for people who may be new to us, a $50 donation, you would make that online at ACLJ.org. That's what you're charged on your credit card. It's tax deductible. We're a charitable organization. But then a group of donors will match all these donations in March. So your $50 is really like $100 for the American Center for Law and Justice. So it's a great time to support our work, and I think this is a great show. If you're new to us, that just kind of shows from U.S. senators to former acting directors of national intelligence to live reports from Kyiv to what's coming up next, a live report from Poland dealing with the refugees. We've got it all here in 1 hour for you.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Johnny Daniels. He's been in this studio with us before, talking about his organization From the Depths. He's been in our studios in Washington, D.C. before, talking about the great work that they do with the righteous among the nations.
We worked with them in Israel.
The righteous Gentiles who helped Jews during the Holocaust across Eastern Europe, and where these concentration camps were set up by the Nazis. And that includes Ukraine, where Johnny's organization, it's fromthedepths.org. Johnny's in Poland. And of course, you know, folks, Poland is dealing with the refugee wave, and I just wanted to get him on. Johnny, one, to just explain what it has been like in Poland as an organization that's kind of shifted some of your focus to help these refugees.
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you for having me. I mean, this has been one of the most shocking weeks of my life. I mean, it's kind of images that none of us would ever imagine to truly see in today's day and age. You're seeing hundreds of thousands of people escaping, running, mothers carrying children in their arms with no pushchairs, no bags, people leaving their whole lives behind just to try and stay safe and stay alive. And it's really shocking. It's tremendously sad and difficult. It's one of the most incredible things I've ever seen.
You have tried, Johnny, even, I saw this on your social media, and I thought, just to explain this to people, this is unique because you've got connects you used to work with the Israeli government. In the Israeli government, you're now living in Poland, but you're an Israeli dual citizen. You have actually started to assist some of these families in relocation to Israel.
Yeah, well, this is, you know, I'm a pretty proud Jew, but I think during this time, I've been even prouder. I've been even prouder of my country, and what we've seen has just been truly amazing. Ukraine was home to a not small Jewish community of maybe up to about 150,000 people. People who were Jewish, but Ukrainian Jewish. Now, when these people left, as a Jew, they have the right to move to the State of Israel. So Israel took upon itself to take any citizen who wants to and who has the right or opportunity to move to Israel and has basically plucked them out and help them and relocating them to Israel, where they're taking them and giving them basically a new life, a life that's safer and better for them. And, you know, I've been sort of involved with these people as well. Just yesterday, you know, I took a young mother and her one-year-old son and, you know, bought them a fresh pair of clothes because they didn't have any. It's truly tremendously sad. Yeah. But again, these are the people who are escaping. You know, the people who have stayed, it is much worse. Kiev the capital city is virtually under siege right now, that you can't get bread. You know, people are literally starting to starve.
You know, Johnny, I think about the law of return that allows Jews from anywhere in the globe to come to Israel. That happens usually during times of crisis, and in Ukraine right now, because of the Russian move by Vladimir Putin to attack unprovoked in Ukraine, he has created this crisis. So it's great that some can utilize the law of return and get to Israel. Others are going to be making their homes at least temporarily in Poland. What is the sense, Johnny, that you're hearing from Poles as to their concern about this encroachment onto by Russia onto Ukraine, then bordering right on Poland?
Well, I mean, I'm pretty kind of realistic. My personal opinion and view is that it's kind of going to end with that. Putin's clearly insane, but I don't think it's so crazy to pick a fight with Poland and NATO. Poland obviously being a major NATO player, so I don't consider that's going to happen. However, there is tremendous fear in Poland.
Yeah.
Tremendous. You know, you're talking, you know, normal people are getting very worried.
Sure.
I went to the bank yesterday and to try and take out cash, and like the cash machines were all empty. It's been like that for a week. Like, people are very scared. People are thinking of making, you know, moving bank accounts to different countries. People are, you know, getting go bags yes. ready. People are really worried. You know, even with this, you know, no one really knows exactly what happened yesterday with this nuclear plant, but it brought huge fear in Poland.
Because, well, we know, Johnny, is that the nuclear plant is now under the control of the Russians. The Ukrainian scientists are running it at gunpoint. Colonel Wes Smith is joining us here in our studio. Colonel, you just written a piece called Ukraine, Russia, and the Dangers of a Wider War. I was just at, Johnny's in, obviously, he's in Poland. Mm-hmm. So I was just talking with him about this. What are the risks of a wider war here?
Well, the disconcerting thing about it is that we don't really know. We just know that the risk is wider. The United Nations and NATO, they were established to prevent the very kind of thing the world is witnessing. And yet the fact is, Jay, the nightmare of war in Europe has returned even as we are sitting here. And we do not know how it's going to end. There's the potential for other nations to be drawn in, either accidentally or intentionally. And war has an inherent unpredictability built into it. And the thing about Vladimir Putin, and I appreciate Johnny's remarks, because we literally have over a million refugees moving around Europe now because of Vladimir Putin. He is evil and he is unstable. But evil and unstable people rarely see themselves as evil and unstable. And that gives this unpredictability to this.
You know, Johnny, one thing people are saying, I think it was important to point out too, how this is affecting Poland. I mean, you know, run on the banks, tough to get cash. People think about moving their bank accounts. And you're in a country that is taking in the bulk of those refugees that we just talked about. The world is seeing the Polish people step up, organizations like yours step up. I put in our live video chats, we've got the link to your organization so people can support your work directly at From the Depths. It's also on our screen, fromthedepths.org. But again, it talks about even the effect. You've got these elderly righteous and their families who are stuck in Ukraine. And I know Jerusalem posted a story about your work trying to get supplies to them. But also, it does seem like there's a crisis brewing in Poland. Invasion or not, I don't think that's where Putin goes. I think you're right about that. Probably there's places like Moldova and other places I think are more concerned right now. But it is causing a crisis, a humanitarian crisis. Poland is trying to take in all these refugees, but it's becoming difficult on the citizens as well just to go about their daily life and to help people.
Yeah, well, that's right, Jay. I mean, one of the things, and this is kind of a concern, like, you know, one of the things that I'm trying to do is also with the organization and even with the money that we raise is also to make sure that we have in reserve. Because honestly, right now, people have been amazing and society really steps forward and people are helping and taking people into their homes and, you know, providing food and shelter and care when they can. But, you know, just from where I am right now, it's enough to go to a central bus station and there are thousands of people who are laying on the floor, women, children, grandparents, with nothing but the clothes on their back. And with all of this being said, the help is there right now. However, people are going to get tired of this situation quite soon.
Yeah, it's very, very difficult.
This is the kind of worry. Like, what happens in a month, right? Because, you know, the likeliness is, unfortunately, that this doesn't go the way the war that we necessarily wanted to go. You know, the chances of, you know, Ukraine remaining how it did beforehand, it's not going to be like that. Foreign investors are going to run out of the country. They already have, but they're not going to be coming back because it's going to be unstable even if Ukraine wins, right? But if it doesn't, a lot of these people won't want to go back. And that puts a huge pressure on sort of civil society and also state support. Again, these are people coming with absolutely nothing. And a lot of women and children, don't forget that if you're a man from the age of 18 to 60, you can't leave the country. You have to stay and fight. And if, God forbid, you know, men are lost, then you're sort of left with women and children as the breadwinners. It's very, very difficult to make a living. And so there's a lot of unknowns here. It's a pretty scary time.
All right, Johnny, we appreciate it.
Yeah, Johnny, I appreciate you joining us. We were talking through Instagram last night, and you know, it's almost 7:45 p.m. where Johnny is in Poland. But I want to encourage you folks to support his work. It's from thedepths.org. It's in the chats online as well, so you can see that there. And Johnny, I truly appreciate you joining us, taking that time to join us. So while you're in the midst of helping everybody you can, I mean, you see his social media, people are Jewish, people are not Jewish, but even I thought it was just unique that Johnny was able to coordinate already the movement of Ukrainian Jews who had fled,
right,
already being relocated in Israel.
No, I think it's great. Let's stay live during the break here because I want to go over a couple things with Wes Smith to talk about before we're joined by Rick Grinnell coming up. So if you're on any of our social media platforms right now, share it with your friends. Radio audience, do know that Rick Grinnell's coming up. But you are seeing on this broadcast the reach and extent of the ACLJ. And I'm not going to give away the big announcements that are going to be coming in the months ahead, but that reach of the ACLJ is about to expand, Jordan, it's fair to say, tenfold. With what we will be announcing in the months ahead. That's because of your support of the ACLJ. So I want to encourage you right now to make an online gift to the ACLJ at aclj.org. We're in a matching challenge campaign. What does that mean? Group of donors have gotten together and said, we're going to match whatever donors put up. In other words, if donors do $20, we're going to give $40. And it's usually up to, I'll get the exact one on this, but it's usually over $1.5 million match. So the match is significant. We need your support to continue to expand the work of the American Center for Law and Justice, the European Center for Law and Justice, and our offices and reach around the globe, in Washington, in Jerusalem, in Strasbourg, in Africa, the continent. ACLJ.org. Back with more.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
All right, folks, so today we've been joined by U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham, who has called for the removal by the Russian people of Vladimir Putin to put an end to the conflict in Ukraine. He's made it clear the Russian people doing that's not about Americans sending assassins over or something like that. And we had him on. We got a live report from Kyiv from a musician, a friend of ours, who was there in the capital city. Well-known musician. He's got his bandmates are also Russian. I mean, it just shows you the nature of this conflict and how tough it's getting in the capital city. We're joined by Johnny Daniels in Poland. He's assisting the refugees there and focusing in on some Jewish refugees who are being resettled already into Israel. So there are some positive stories out of this refugee crisis. But he said it is mounting as we speak. And now Rick Rennell joining us live from Serbia. He is our senior advisor for foreign policy and national security. And Rick, I just want to go to you right now. Where do you see this as it stands? It feels like that second wave of this Russian aggression is taking hold in Ukraine, and it feels like it's just a matter of time and up to Putin as long as he's in control until the capital city falls.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, first of all, greetings from Belgrade, Serbia. I was in earlier this week in Tirana, Albania. And this is obviously a region that has experienced quite a bit of war. The Balkans have had their fair share of conflict and war over the last couple of decades. And I think the reality is that Europe and all of the surrounding areas of Ukraine understand that this is a crisis of epic proportion. And I think Americans need to understand that the Europeans are completely in turmoil here. Countries are trying to figure out what's next. They're seeing President Putin and his focus on taking Ukraine. I have to tell you, Jordan, I fear for Zelensky's life. I think that President Putin is focused on taking over and removing anyone that stands in his way. I see that evidence. And what we have to be able to do is support the Ukrainians in every possible way and, certainly prepare our European allies in every possible way.
Rick, this is Jay. What is, when we say support them in every possible way, what does that actually mean? What concrete actions need to be taken? I still don't understand why we don't have sanctions on the Russian energy, but those sanctions are not in place. But what are the concrete things that need to be done right now?
It's such a great question, and I think that, you know, this is where we are with even the conservative movement and our friends on the other side of the aisle are having the same conversation. What does that mean? What does it mean? How far do we go? My opinion is that for Ukraine that we need to, at this current moment, do everything we can on a humanitarian level. Certainly we can push the UN to do more. We can personally do more. The Americans our whole system is to rise up and give money personally. I've had somebody reach out to me and say, what's the best charity in Ukraine? My heart is breaking. I want to do something. So Americans respond. I think from a diplomatic standpoint, you're right. We need to be really focused on the peaceful sanctions portion of this rather than just respond with military options. You know, I reject the idea of doing a no-fly zone that puts us in a conflict with Russia. I do think we can sell arms. We should have been selling arms to the Ukrainians, I would say a year ago, even before then. And now we're going to have to look and see what's happening in some of the other former satellite Soviet countries, right, and see what can be done. I think we can sell our military equipment, let them fight. I'm encouraged that the Ukrainians are fighting, unlike a lot of what we've seen with Afghans and the Iraqis, actually.
Yeah. I want to go to Colonel Smith on this quickly because Rick was mentioning the military aspect of this. we have set up a deconflicting situation room, basically, right, with the Russians directly. What does that mean?
It means that, you know, in shared airspace around the area, that we communicate with each other to avoid conflicts, unintended conflicts like that. Because as General Stoltenberg stated yesterday, Rick, you know, U.S. Air Force pilots are flying missions 24/7 with some of our allies in NATO.
Yeah, look, the NATO angle here is a real one. We need to obviously be prepared if there's ever an attack on any NATO country. We're watching Poland, I think, very carefully here. But we need to be prepared for that next phase. I think Ukraine, as a non-NATO member, we have a different policy. And when the conflict moves to a NATO member, we have a treaty obligation, and I think we must react quickly. And I hope that the Biden team is ready and planning for that possible phase two. Certainly here in Europe, I can tell you that people think this is not going away, that this is not ending. They sense that something has happened with President Putin and that he is hell-bent on taking Ukraine.
Rick, we had on Senator Graham earlier, and he talked about a bill he's co-sponsoring with Senator Manchin, so bipartisan support. And he said if the vote was allowed right now in the U.S. Senate, 75 U.S. senators would vote to open up all that we need to do for energy in the U.S. to get back on the path to energy independence, which would affect the futures forecasts, which would affect the price of the pump for Americans. And it, again, it would isolate, stop any import of Russian gas and oil. The holdup is the Democrat leadership and the Biden administration, which to me is almost sickening, because you've got that kind of bipartisan support to unleash American power.
Look, if you have 75 senators that will sign something that says let's unleash America's energy power, my first reaction is to say take those 25 senators that are against it and throw them out of office immediately. This is ridiculous to think that anyone would say that we should be beholden to Russia or Middle East oil. What are they thinking? Where are we going to get our energy from? We've got to start saying to these people that it doesn't make sense to put one arm behind our back and not have full energy independence. We had full energy independence under Donald Trump. We were able to do it with a renewable, clean energy like liquid natural gas. By the way, I like to remind people that the Obama administration and very far left Democrats told us for a decade that fracking was bad. We could have been doing liquid natural gas 10 years before we did. We could have been off Middle East oil and being an energy exporter 10 years before we actually did, if we would have done the science on fracking. Fracking is safe.
Yeah.
This is science. You want to talk about honoring science and listening to science. Fracking is safe, and it took the Obama administration way too long to come to that conclusion.
Rick, I appreciate you joining us this week from both Albania and now Serbia to give your expertise on this situation as a former acting director of National Intelligence, and Germany playing such an important role here. They're opening up their coal mines now. They're going back to coal. The Green Party in Germany, because they said they had to make a pragmatic decision, not just one about their policies.
Certainly interesting. Well, folks, support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. We're in a matching challenge. You saw the breadth just today of the scope of the ACLJ and our reach globally. ACLJ.org. Any donation you make is going to get matched. That's at ACLJ.org. Follow us on our social media platforms. Have a good weekend. Back with more Monday.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.